WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Florida residents concerned about the impact of Hurricane Milton have been streaming out of the Tampa Bay region area ahead of the storm, which could make landfall as a Cat 3 early Tuesday morning. This woman who lives on Sanibel Island says,
I'm not going to sit in a shelter. I'm not going to sit in a hotel, motel. I think that's great if people found places to go and they wanted to evacuate and friends they can stay with. But this is where we want to stay.
Prepping for a hurricane doesn't just involve people. CBS's Matt Piper has checked in with an aquarium in Tampa.
The Florida Aquarium is right on the water in downtown Tampa, home to 20,000 animals. CEO Roger German says they've had to move some to higher ground.
Earlier today, our African penguins, we've got 9 African penguins, they are on the ground floor. So they took an opportunity to march, you know, up the, we're closed to the public today, so get a chance to march up the ramps and go to their new enclosure.
He says the good news is the building is surrounded by 4 walls and all their exhibits are inside. Matt Piper, CBS News.
An Afghan national is arrested for allegedly plotting an Election Day terrorist attack. CBS's Rob Legary with more.
They allege that the defendant and his co-conspirator, who's not named in charging documents, sought to carry out an Election Day attack here in the U.S. in the name of ISIS by doing many things, purchasing weapons, selling their family home, working to repatriate their family.
The arrest made in Oklahoma. Israel and Hezbollah trade strikes during fighting near the border. CBS's Chris Livesay in Tel Aviv.
Hezbollah has pelted the key northern Israeli city of Haifa today. That's just south of the border with Lebanon. It was struck more than 100 times, according to the Israeli military.
Vice President Kamala Harris on the Howard Stern Show on Sirius XM reacts to the new Bob Woodward book and a claim that former President Donald Trump, while in office, was helping Vladimir Putin at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic.
These kits, the tests, the COVID test kits.
You couldn't get them.
Couldn't get them.
Right.
Couldn't get them anywhere.
Right.
And this guy who is president of the United States is sending them to Russia, to a murderous dictator for his personal use?
The Trump campaign says Woodward's claims are not true. Also, the Trump camp has postponed a virtual town hall with RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard due to Hurricane Milton. The Supreme Court justices appear skeptical of a challenge to federal ghost gun regulations. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The Biden administration is saying is just look at the plain language of the statute. Of course, it embraces the idea of being able to regulate these ghost gun kits.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden in Milwaukee Tuesday with a plan to remove all lead water pipes in the United States. Here's Stuart J. Waddles.
President Biden was back in the Brew City once again talking up his efforts to remove lead water pipes. Biden unveiled a plan to force big cities to replace their lead water pipes within 10 years.
What's good for our health and for our environment is also good for our economy. And it's good for jobs.
A deadline includes $2.5 billion in new spending from the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act. With the president in Milwaukee, I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
The top 4 vote-getters in this year's Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin contest move on to the final round. The field started out with 130 nominations. You can vote for the finalists for another week. The winner will be announced a week from Thursday in Madison. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
A Badger named Player of the Week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. Wisconsin Badgers Trek Kekahuna named Big Ten Freshman of the Week. 6 catches and 2 touchdowns against Purdue. Head coach Luke Fickell says running back Tywee Walker looked good as the game wore on.
It gave Tywee an opportunity probably to truly kind of see what he can establish, you know, and even, you know, being physical at that, I think those kinds of guys do gain momentum after taking hits.
NFL, the Green Bay Packers host the Arizona Cardinals Sunday. Matt LaFleur says he expects Romeo Doubs will be back after meeting with the suspended wide receiver yesterday. Jaire Alexander says Doubs is one of their best receivers.
I always want to go against Doubs. I mean, dude's freaking really good. I mean, he come in his rookie year not catching a single pass on me, and now he's in contested. We're going up for 50-50 balls now. I mean, he's a pro. You know, he goes about it the right way. He comes in. I mean, he catches 100 balls. Just more after practice. His attention to detail is very on point.
That's the Packers' Jaire Alexander. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low around 40. For tomorrow, a mostly sunny sky and pleasant, a high around 70. Up to the upper 70s on Thursday as sun continues, backing down to the mid-70s Friday, low 60s Saturday, and upper 50s Sunday. It's 55 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome former Milwaukee police officer and founder of the Cops and Writers website, Patrick O'Donnell, and WGBW producer and social media expert, Amanda Nimmer, joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for
You're
the Tom Allball
Show.
You're
listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudahy Wee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Strong Hearts Native Helpline. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Strong Hearts offers culturally appropriate support and advocacy. Call or text them at 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483, or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org.
Hey, we're here with Ruth Buffalo and Sarah Carlson of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And Ruth, you're on all the time. Do you mind introducing Sarah and take it away? I'd like to hear some information about what's going on Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Sure. Dosha and Matsugadad, thank you for having us, Robert and Haley. I am so honored and proud to represent MIWRC here, but also honored to introduce an amazing staff member, Sarah Carlson. And I'll let her introduce herself.
Hello, Buju. My name is Sarah Carlson. I am a Red Lake band member, and I've been with MIWRC for a year now as their ICWA kinship worker. I'm with the Family Services Department, and very proud and honored to do the work that we do at MIWRC. Just quickly, I have three kids. I live in Richfield, and I've been working in the Native community for about 8 years now. I worked at NAC, and I worked for Red Lake, and been doing work, did some work at the encampments a few years ago, and I'm just very proud to be here.
Wow, it's awesome. Ruth, talk, Sarah, I don't know, I hear a little clicking going on in the background. Are there little chipmunks out there in Richfield? I hear...
there is a lot, but...
squirrels.
I think it was my nails tapping on my chair, so I'll stop that.
Oh, okay, no problem. Ruth, let's talk about we have a strong warrior here, Sarah, on, and the work that she does. It sounds really interesting. Why don't you ask Sarah some loaded questions? No, some good questions.
Oh, Sarah, okay, let's see. I'll ask you some tough questions. No, I'm just kidding. what is one of the most... I don't want to bring the emotions up to, because I know like the work they do is so, so critically important. So I would say what is one of the most things that, what is an enjoyable thing, or what is, what brings you to work? What keeps you coming back to MIWRC every day?
Well, again, it's, I work in the ICWA. I am an ICWA kinship worker with Leah LaChapelle. And our primary role is to assist families that have taken their kin and they're the caregivers for them now. Our referrals can come from counties, CPS, kids that are in foster care. And we have like grandmas taking care of their grandkids, and just to be able to provide them a safe place to heal and be able to provide resources. My program, we preserve families to stay together, and to be able to assist and help our Indian families stay together is very big. I started working as the ICWA kinship in ICWA, as I was the Red Lake advocate, I think in 2018. And that's when I learned a lot about ICWA. So again, my program preserves on families sticking together and working hard to find resources and keep those families together and bring some good things back into their life. Like recently, this past year, MIWRC and Family Children's Services did like a ribbon skirt making event for our families and their grandkids and their kids. We had a lot of women come back into MIWRC, and it brought back just so much positive energy and good spirits and good vibes, and just the love that we were bringing to these families. And a lot of my grandmas that are in my program, a lot of the aunties, they actually came and they made ribbon skirts for their granddaughters and their grandkids and ribbon shirts. So it's nice to be able to hold on to our culture and provide those specifically cultural events for them. I see a lot of love and laughter in our program. There's struggles, of course, you know, things in the background. Some of the caregivers have actually lost their, you know, daughter or son, and that's why they're taking care of their grandkids or their kin. And, you know, just being able to provide those resources and refer them out and help them and heal, that's one of the biggest things for me and what makes me happy. And I see it in others that work with the Family Services Program at MIWRC. We have an ICWA liaison. Her name is Anicia, and me and Leah LaChapelle, we're the ICWA kinship workers, and we're partners. And she's been working in the community for many, many, many years, and she just brings a lot of joy and laughter and good spirits to her family, our families, and I see it, and she's very dedicated to helping them. And I see my other coworkers, but I work very closely with Leah. So we also have our family home visitor, family home visitor, who is Lacey. And I can't pronounce her newly married name, Papa Sidora. And we have our life skills parenting worker, Vaughn Hansen, and our director, Mariah Smith. So we all work as a team and bringing these culturally specific events to our families, providing them with resources, reunification, we preserve for them to stay together. We have lunches that and dinners that we have with them. We cook for them, and just sharing that space with them and seeing the good things that we bring into the other people's lives. And that's what I really like my job right now at MIWRC, and I'm happy to be there and with all my coworkers as well.
That's awesome. Ruth, could you explain? Some people might not know what ICWA is because we're all over the Turtle Island and we have many different listeners. Maybe you could just tell everyone what the ICWA, what ICWA means and stands for.
Sure. The ICWA, the acronym stands for Indian Child Welfare Act. And gosh, I think, was that put into place? I know like there's all these different clusters of acts that went into place around the same time, like the American Indian Religious Freedom Act was, what, 1978? Yep. Was ICWA enacted at the same time, I think?
Sure. Yeah, right around the same time, shortly same after.
Yep. So it's so interesting, the different federal things that happened at the federal level, but essentially the Indian Child Welfare Act in a nutshell is to keep families together, keep children with Native children with Native families.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with our friends from Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. We're going to take a quick break and come right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Oh.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
Make voting a tradition empowers Native American communities through civic engagement. For nearly a decade, MVAT has increased voter turnout by encouraging friends, family, and neighbors to get involved. By building trust and community engagement, MVAT ensures Native voices help shape the future. This election season, voting is easier than ever. Minnesota voters can cast their ballots early so elders and busy voters can avoid the rush of Election Day. Find your nearest polling location at sos.state.mn.us and let's make voting a tradition for future generations.
The Minneapolis Institute of Art is featuring the art and legacy of Jody Falwell, a groundbreaking potter from Capa Owinga, New Mexico. Over the past 50 years, Falwell has revolutionized Pueblo pottery and Native art by weaving in personal, political, and social stories into her pieces. Her exhibition titled Opawa Omong shows the incredible range of her work and the impact she's had on both Native and contemporary American art. You can check it out at MIA through January. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Ruth Buffalo and Sarah Carlson of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. We're talking about all the really cool things that Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center does. And I'm wondering, Sarah, if you or Ruth could talk about who's eligible for all this fun stuff and activities that you do.
Sorry, I just seen that question too. There isn't any eligibility. I mean, if somebody says that they want to be a part of our program, we take them in and we do an intake. And again, like I said, we supply the resources and just help as much as we can, but there's no eligibility. For my program, the ICWA Kinship Program, there isn't any eligibility.
Cool. Yeah. Ruth, anyone can join, and that's what's a great thing about, you know, what your work is and what you stand for is there is no checking your res ID card or anything like that. If you need help, right?
Right, yes, for sure, because we're the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and we're serving, you know, American Indian women and their families.
Awesome. So what else would you like our listeners to know, Ruth? And then grill Sarah and ask her.
No, I'm just super, super proud to be a part of an amazing team that does such important heart work every single day. You know, our staff have such big hearts. They're just beautiful people, and I'm super proud to be a part of their team. And so I know the weather is changing, and so we are going to be hosting a winter coat drive during our fall market, which is scheduled for November 1st. So I'm going to turn it over to Sarah and say, a question for Sarah. How's it going? Are there many vendor requests for the fall market of November 1st?
We do still have a lot of openings for vendors to come and show off your artwork and sell your work and stuff at our fall market on November 1st. Leah LaChapelle and Marion Wright, who works in our drop-in center, will be making the fry bread. We're going to have a fry bread taco sale that day as well, and some chicken wild rice egg rolls. I think we're going to do pork as well. And I think the rice is coming from Leech Lake for those egg rolls. I'm not sure. I'll have to check with Leah. But it's not Red Lake wild rice. Let's see. We have that. And we would like to, we'll be taking donations for hats, jackets, gloves, snow boots for MIWRC, as we have other programs and client relatives that may be in need. So looking forward to another community event at MIWRC. It feels like it brings a lot of love, laughter, and good spirits, the cooking and the smiles and the fellowship and seeing our relatives and the community together. So November 1st.
I'm excited to get one of those sacred egg rolls. That sounds totally delicious. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but great things about those egg rolls. Are those made by Leah?
Yes.
Yeah. I told her we have to double our order this time. It sold out in like less than 2 hours the last time. We rolled 200 of them.
Dang.
Wow. They must be some good egg rolls.
That's awesome. Oh, we just lost Ruth. So now it's up to us to grill ya.
No.
She must have accidentally exited out. And you've been working for a couple of years here. And what is some of the great stories you have with reuniting families and the things that you really do there and really support families? Do you have any fun stories or any really heartbreaking stories? I know there's a lot of good and there's a lot of fun, and there's also a lot of sadness in our community.
Yeah. I mean, my this working in the community for me has been a very personal, it's a personal journey for me. I was once knocked down with like my depression, anxiety, and going through things with my kids. And I utilized that same community to help with my own personal issues. And I utilized NAC. I utilized MIWRC in the past. And I utilized other programs and support groups. And it kept, I kept moving on in my career. I started out as a patient advocate at NAC, at the Native American Community Clinic. And just being able to be someone that's there and that's helpful and that really genuinely cares, and the joy that we bring to these families, you know, means a lot to me,
you know, like I said, a lot of them can be in the trenches with personal things that are going on in their lives, but we help them overcome that. There is a way. There is a way. Like, you know, and there is so many resources out there, and there's so many people that support and offer that help. Like, it's there. And I just am proud to be in this community working and helping and doing my part. It took a whole village for me to get back on track. And like I said, I utilized NAC, and culturally specific programs was big for me. You know, my therapist, I went through three therapists. The first one didn't understand me. Second one was trying to give me like anxiety meds and depression meds. The third one, I walked into the Native American Community Clinic, told me her name. She told me where she was from. And she said, "Would you like to smudge?" So just our ways and our values and our traditions go a long way. And I hope, and I only hope to bring that kind of healing and services back into MIWRC and help our families then, and be a good support and a good relative.
Well, Ruth, that's an amazing story about Sarah. And I think it really is proof in the pudding and a great example of what can happen when people meet you guys halfway, and a lot of healing and a lot of things. That's an amazing story, Sarah.
Yes, we're blessed to have Sarah on board. She's an amazing, beautiful mom and leader in our community. So yes, we're super blessed to have her on board, and super proud. There's the director of family services, Mariah Smith. We have to get her on here.
Yeah. He gave you three hearts there of people that are watching us on Facebook and YouTube. That's three more than I usually get. So that's pretty awesome. Well, it's just amazing too. And Sarah, again, thank you so much, Pinigigi, for sharing your story, because, you know, I think it's easier for people coming for help when they hear a story, a success story like yours, and that you can relate and that you've been where they're at. And, that goes a long, long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Oh, go ahead. We have so much exciting things on deck, and yes, it's like it's amazing to come into the building every day and see the staff, and Sarah was cooking there for a while in the morning too, ate breakfast sandwiches. So like our staff are just so amazing. I mean, they just, it's really awesome to be a part of the team here. And I was teasing them the other day. I'm like, "You're all Care Bears." You know, cause they do such important work. I mean, a lot of it is prevention of further tragedies. And, you know, unfortunately as Native women, American Indian women, we have the highest rates of, you know, violence, you know, surviving violence, fleeing violence. And, you know, we're 10 times more likely to be killed, to be murdered, you know, and keeping our doors open is so very important. And right now we're trying to, you know, cross the finish line with the closing of the housing renovations in the top two floors, but we recently hit a hiccup today. And so, if people could call their respective city council members and encourage them to encourage their city housing staff to better understand the importance of and why MIWRC needs to stay open and continue serving the community. You know, without MIWRC here, it's going to be a huge gap left of indirect services, of care, of love for Natives, by Natives, and from Natives. So we critically need everybody's support. Again, so if you could contact your respective city council members and encourage them to encourage their city housing workers to better understand the importance of why MIWRC needs to be invested in for future generations, which will also prevent further tragedies, including the unhoused and opioid crisis that we're facing right now.
Thank you. Well, big Pinigigi, we'll be talking more about that next.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Milton has 160-mile-per-hour winds, max sustained winds, with the newest forecast track showing landfall closer to Sarasota, Florida, south of Tampa. National Hurricane Center Director Michael Brennan warns
Wind damage to structures, power lines down. Widespread power outages expected across much of central Florida beginning Wednesday night and into Thursday.
Federal prosecutors have charged Afghan national Nasir Ahmad Tawhidi with planning an attack in the U.S. on Election Day in support of ISIS. CBS's Matt Piper.
He was arrested in Oklahoma City. Prosecutors saying he and unnamed co-conspirators were followers of ISIS and took steps to carry out their attack in the U.S., including selling the family home, working to relocate family abroad, and purchasing ammunition.
In Beirut, Israel conducts more airstrikes and sends more troops into Lebanon as Hezbollah steps up its rocket fire. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Expect some noisy nights in parts of Wisconsin this week. Melissa Kay explains why.
You may see or hear F-35 jets flying overhead in the afternoons and evenings this week. The 115th Fighter Wing out of Madison will conduct evening training flights through Thursday. The pilots will follow flight paths designed to minimize noise to area residents, but you may still hear them. I'm Melissa Kay.
Farmers in Wisconsin can expect to lose money this year. The U.S. Agriculture Department's September farm income forecast predicts about a 5% decrease. Farm losses could reach $6.5 billion nationwide. The USDA points to lower demand for household produce, a rainy early summer, and a lack of farm workers. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're sort of in the dumps about recent Star Wars shows not lasting so long, don't feel sorry for the franchise. The brand is as profitable as ever. The Hollywood Reporter says the studio made $1 billion from merchandising in 2023 alone. In a stroke of genius, Star Wars creator George Lucas negotiated for the rights to merchandise. The studios thought he was crazy and agreed. Lucas sold the rights back to Disney a few years ago for $4 billion. It's just that simple. All he had to do was create a profitable movie franchise. Word on the street is that actor Fart Smith and star of Independence Day, Will Smith, and Michael Bay, director of the first Bad Boys with Smith, are teaming up for a new action film for Netflix called Fast and Loose. Smith recently made headlines for having the worst smelling gas in the Western Hemisphere. Director Barry Sonnenfeld claimed that on the original Men in Black, Will ripped a doozy that closed down the set until the stench subsided a week ago Tuesday. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low around 40. For tomorrow, a mostly sunny sky and pleasant, a high around 70. Up to the upper 70s on Thursday as sun continues, backing down to the mid-70s Friday, low 60s Saturday, and upper 50s Sunday. It's 55 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great... Not really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we have Tryngvi Olsen, Pat Kreitlow, and more. Be here for a hump day edition.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with Arvina Martin, Emerge, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're talking a little potpourri of everything. I always like saying that word. I don't know why. Potpourri of everything today.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that's been going on, and there's a lot to talk about.
Well, I'm going to give you the floor. What would you like to talk about? I think that's important to be able to do that with you and talk about what's happening, especially in the great state of Wisconsin, besides Vikings football.
Oh, dear. I did notice we did come back. The people at the medicine dance, both sides were there trying to check scores up until the very end. It was a pretty tense time. but I will say this, Packer seasons always tend to start off a little rough and then they get a little bit better. So just be ready in the next time we play in Minnesota. But here in Wisconsin, we've actually had a pretty cool week. Our governor, Tony Evers, went on a paddle in a dugout canoe with Ho-Chunk Nation President John Greendeer and with Bill Quackenbush, who was our tribal historic preservation officer. I'm not sure who the third person in there is, but they paddled across Lake Mendota recently, and I, you know, have to give it up because paddling in a dugout canoe is really hard because there's no like rudders or anything underneath. It's literally just a log that has been hollowed out. So, you know, any like very, very slight shift in your weight, you know, while you're sitting down, if you're trying to scooch up or anything, you could just knock the whole boat over. So I think that was a pretty cool event. And for those who don't or aren't aware, Lake Mendota is a city is a lake in Madison, Wisconsin, which is the capital. In those pictures, you could see a picture of the Capitol building in the background. And over the last several years, they have found a series of ever older dugout canoes. I believe the most recent ones that they found were about 8,000 years old, which, you know, is remarkable. And I had the privilege a couple summers ago of paddling with Ho-Chunk youth from the top of Lake Mendota all the way down into northern Illinois through that lake chain. And when we got to that spot where they found the canoes, I was, don't mind my cat walking around behind me. When we got to the spot, we stopped there and they kind of told us about how they found these canoes. And I was so overcome with emotion that I cried. People that know me know that I wear my heart on my sleeve. I cry pretty easily, but I think I had not expected to be so emotional over that, especially because where the shore was, it is close enough that I could walk there from my house. So to have this, wow. Yeah. So to have these pieces of our history found in a place where I can walk. I mean, there's not that many Americans who can say that they've seen evidence of their ancestors, you know, from thousands of years ago within walking distance of their own home. So, it was a very, very powerful moment for me. And I'm sure the governor had a similarly powerful experience because it's impossible to not feel something once you're at that spot.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. They were up here in the Twin Cities. I think they started in the Twin Cities and went to Bede-Makaska, but where the two rivers meet, Bedote, and started their journey. And let me tell you, those dugout canoes are a little scary for a big guy like me, because you know, getting old like I am, my balance isn't what it used to be, and those are dug out and for smaller people, because that looked a little scary. And I was in my pontoon driving by and keeping up, because our vice president's son was in there and we were taking pictures. But Bill does an unbelievable job. He's been up here for the Banish book and talked about the history of Ho-Chunk in Minnesota and how we've been here for 10,000 years. And it's just, we're lucky to have him.
Agreed. And he actually, I'm not sure if it's the same canoe, the canoe that we rode in. I don't know if Bill has like a small fleet of dugout canoes, but there was a tree that the Dane County, which is where Madison is located, the Dane County Forestry donated a tree that was cut down to the Ho-Chunk Nation specifically to make that new dugout canoe. And Bill had folks, especially tribal youth, helping. And my daughter got to help a bit and pounding. The thickness of the bottom was appropriate. So, yeah.
We missed that last part. I think the little kitty became an antenna of sorts. And
was he purring too loudly?
what did your daughter do again?
She helped pound dowels into the holes that were to test and make sure that the thickness of the bottom was the right thickness. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. She was a lot better at hammering those in than I was. All of mine split, but hers went in real nice.
Wow. That's amazing.
We just did, I participated in the Koi Strong, which is the Ojibwe word for woman, strong triathlon here at Bede Mikaska in Minneapolis. And part of the triathlon was canoeing. So, I mean, these were just in regular canoes. I can't imagine how canoeing across a lake or a river in a dugout traditional one would be. Could imagine.
It was you have to be, like I said, very careful, because any even kind of like switch in where you're putting your weight, or like, you know, a twitch in your leg muscle could just take the whole boat out.
An arm spasm or shoulder spasm, exactly. Or something.
Yeah.
I'll never forget this. I was with a bunch of people that we went canoeing, because in the old days, way before your time, Arvina, nothing was open on Sundays in Minnesota. And we all at a restaurant got together and went canoeing on the St. Croix. And I think we were having a few adult beverages too. So this was way back when I was still drinking back 40 years ago. And everyone that pulled up to this island stood up in their canoe and tipped their canoe. And it was fun. It was like a comedy show. Everyone came up to the island, stood up, tipped their canoe. Next one stood up, tipped their canoe. And I guess that's what happens sometimes if you're not paying attention and not used to being in a canoe.
Yeah, I could see myself doing that just absentmindedly, especially in a dugout. And you have to be really, really careful getting in or out, because it truly is just that log stripped of bark and kind of hollowed out. Like there, like I said, there's nothing on the bottom to keep it stable. And yeah, it's just, it's easy. And if you're wearing shorts, you can get splinters in your legs.
Oh no.
Boy, our relatives were rough back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. They were pretty tough.
It's funny. You talk about getting emotional. I was at a off-Broadway play last night, a musical, a Native American musical, and written by Native Americans. And, it was beautifully sung, and there was a lot of things going on, but a few times I got really emotional, and a lot of it had to do with the drum and the way they were singing with, they were kind of counter singing with the drum and the singers, and it was beautiful, and things like that sneak up on us.
Absolutely. I think when we experience things like that that are traditional, and we're experiencing them in a different context than we're used to, that it does sneak up. And, you know, there is something about listening to the drum and singers singing that, you know, is kind of home. And to hear that in a musical would be something that would be so different than what you typically would experience, that it kind of takes you aback and takes your breath away, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I had to go for sure. There was a friend of a friend that wrote the play, as a matter of fact, and he's been in a lot of productions and Broadway, and he was in Between Two Knees too, and that's how I talked to him, and we had a lot of people we knew in the same way. But it's amazing that these things are happening, and I did not. Oh, the name of the play too was Distant Thunder, so I had to go, and it was really weird because I saw him before the play, and we're going to have him on too very quickly, Haley. And his name is Distant Thunder too. And that was the name of the play. And we were like, you know, in a course, a different Eastern language, native language, Eastern United States language. But it was like totally bizarre. And the name Distant Thunder had some powerful meaning in this play too.
Oh, that's remarkable. And I think, again, connecting things that are traditional with the and put into a more modern context, I think it just ends up being so powerful in a way that is unexpected for those of us who have experienced things in the context in which we're used to them. Not to, you know, falling out of a coconut tree or anything, but, you know, we're used to things happening. You know, it's, you're at a powwow, of course you're going to hear drums and singers, but to hear them in an off-Broadway musical is a little different. And you know, even if you're prepared, you know it's going to happen. It just hits something so deep inside you that it's hard not to be emotional, and it's hard not to feel something so strongly.
Yeah, it's deep in our DNA. Our DNA is earth and sky and everywhere else. And so, yeah. Well, Arvina, we only got a minute left. I want you to give a quick shout out to Emerge Wisconsin, how people can support Emerge Wisconsin and get more information. It looks like you have 30 seconds.
Absolutely. wi.emergeamerica.org. You can donate to us there, to the work that we do in recruiting and training Democratic women on running for office. And if you are a Native woman that wants to run for office, get at me there.
Thank you so much, Arvina. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back. Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin.
The Met Council is the governing planning agency for the Twin Cities metro region. One of our biggest responsibilities is to create a long-range plan every decade that imagines the best future for all of us. We need your help. We want to know your thoughts on the latest plan. We're calling it Imagine 2050. We'll use it as a guide to shape public policy and drive growth over the next 30 years. It'll help us improve the everyday essential services we provide, including transportation, housing, water resources, and parks and trails, with input from the 7 counties and 181 cities and townships in the region. But we're still missing the most important piece, and that's you. Visit engage.metrocouncil.org to learn more about Imagine 2050 and share your own thoughts and hopes for the Twin Cities region. Let's imagine a better, brighter future together. engage.metrocouncil.org. That's engage.metrocouncil.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Every day, our people suffer at the hand of domestic and sexual violence. But you are sacred and deserve to be safe in your own home. Strong Hearts Native Helpline is here to help. Native-centered, empowerment-based, trauma-informed advocates offer safety, sovereignty, and support. Call or text 844-7-NATIVE. To chat online, visit www.strongheartshelpline.org. Reach out today.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, we have our friend Bob Blake from the Solar Bear with the Solar News, but I think we should start out, Bob, with the Vikings news.
Am I wearing something here, Robert Pilot?
Yes. Yes, a nice Vikings hat. You have nice hats.
I had no idea that I was wearing purple today.
Yeah. Our Wisconsin listeners just turned off the show.
So that was a good game. That was quite the border battle, by the way, Robert.
Yeah.
And I believe that both of these teams are really good, and it is going to be like a battle when the Pack come to town. Simple as that.
Yeah, definitely. And I was in New York. I don't know if you saw that, but there's right by Penn Station, there's a Viking bar there. And
there's a Viking bar.
Yeah, right at Penn Station.
You know, if I ever did my Sex in the City Carrie Bradshaw life that I wanted to live at one point in time. Robert, you didn't know this, but I wanted to become a writer and move to New York. Find like three good friends and run around the streets with them and like get into like different situations and then write about it. But yeah, it didn't happen. I ended up becoming Solar Bear and
going to cocktail parties and having lots of relationships.
I was the first guy to walk around with that apple martini, and people would laugh at me, Robert. Laugh at me.
Oh, they didn't know.
Are they laughing now? But no. You know, Robert, this brings me into my first story.
Right on.
Incidentally, about the Solar News with the Solar Bear. I'm talking about what just happened with Hurricane Helene and the like millions of people that are without power in the south eastern part of the United States. There has been record heat down in Phoenix. And yeah. I thought it was really interesting because in the debate the other night, you know, they're talking about, you know, they got onto climate change and everything. And, you know, I know that it's a controversial issue and folks don't really want to talk about it or, you know, want to think about it at that. But if we don't start talking about it, if we don't start preparing for it, people unfortunately are going to die, Robert. And we just seen it in both of these situations. So I'm all about pretending that there's nothing wrong, that there's a big elephant in the middle of the room, right? Like, let's just walk around it and let's avoid it. But if we don't do something about it, if we don't, like, take action, the events that we just witnessed are going to get more extreme. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So I just wanted to throw that out there because I really was interested when the vice president candidates were talking about it. And then, you know, and obviously Governor Walz talked about his, you know, record here in the state of Minnesota and all the good things he's done around climate change. But point being though, is like, there's still a lot of work that we need to do. And you know, people need to take this seriously. So what I wanted to get into was just go into the latest solar data cheat sheet.
Let's do it.
And there is currently the value of the U.S. solar market is $60.1 billion.
Wow.
B with a billion. There are 209 gigawatts currently installed in the United States. There are 279,447 people installed or are employed by the solar industry. And this is because of the historic legislation that was passed by the Biden administration. So people listen to the Solar Bear when he says that don't feel like your vote does not count. It does count. And look at the jobs that have been created. Look at the value that has been created in this country because legislation was passed by the Biden administration. So that right there, Robert, should give a lot of folks a lot of, you know, gumption or like to get out there and vote and to make sure that their voice is heard.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I was agreeing. I said, absolutely. That, yeah.
There are 35.8 million households that have solar energy. Every 39 seconds, there was a project that was installed in this country. Carbon emissions that were reduced is the equivalent to 53 million vehicles being taken off the road, Robert. 53 Wow. million vehicles that aren't emitting carbon into the atmosphere, which is contributing to global climate change. 25 billion gallons of gas not used. Water protectors, people that don't want pipelines, right? Like, hey, yeah, look at this. You know what I mean? These are facts, right? 25 billion gallons of gas. So this is how we win the battle. This is how we win the war, right?
Yeah.
They built the pipeline. I get that. Let's win the war. You know what I mean? 3.7 billion trees. It's equivalent to 3.7 billion trees being planted. And Robert, this is one of the craziest statistics, but the shuttering of 58 coal-fired plants in this country has been closed because of all Americans and their transition into renewable energy, into solar.
That's amazing. I got to put the applause up. Okay, Bob, go ahead.
I just want to say 15% of U.S. homes will have solar PV system by 2030. Our politicians, if you're listening to this, let's get some legislation mandating in our building codes that in new bills, they have to require renewable energy, solar, on them. California is doing it. It's working out just fine out there. I think we could do it here in Minnesota. 450 gigawatts of new solar capacity will be installed over the next 10 years.
Wow.
That just means growth for Solar Bear.
Definitely. Definitely. Wow. Keep it coming.
And the price of solar in the last 10 years, Robert, has come down by 43%, and it's still going down. So it's Moore's Law. Like every 2 years, things get, you know, cheaper, smaller. I once heard this really smart guy talk about a calculator. He talked about a calculator, and he was explaining this calculator situation. And I'm telling you, it was the first perfect metaphor for what is happening with solar.
Yeah.
And just real quickly, California and Texas, Florida, North Carolina, Arizona, Georgia, Virginia, Nevada are like 8 of the top 10 states that are installing solar. Robert, do you see a correlation between those states and a certain party?
Yeah, definitely.
So what is that saying? The statistics out there are saying that 75 to 80% of Republicans believe in renewable energy and solar. 80% of Democrats believe in it. So, it's this 20%, right, that is like on the fence, right? And so I was like talking about that because, you know, when you look at the leaders in installing renewable energy, they're all like all red states.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they're getting the most support, too. And I think that's good on the Democrats when they talk about being open to both parties and American citizens.
Yep. And then the last thing I want to leave with from the Solar Bear with the solar news is, in order to address climate change, we need to be generating 30% of electricity by 2030.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, this week's Climate Check with Melissa Baldoff does a fact check on this EV mandate that Donald Trump keeps complaining about.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
The Todd Alba Show.
This narrative that the immigrants are coming to get you, that's fiction. Look at criminal charges in your community and look how many of those people who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants, and even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. It's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CB.